We know that fruit is trying to come forth, and God's working with it. Like, for example, if there's somebody in your life that you're having a hard time loving, then don't cut them out of your life. Master the love. Allow the fruit of the Spirit to develop you. I mean, you don't want to be people, you don't want to be a weak person that God has to constantly cut people out of your life, off of your life. You want to be able to walk in love toward everyone. Now, that doesn't mean we can do it all today, but we've got to let that love grow inside of us, knowing that it's the purpose of God to bring me to a place to where I can handle everything without weakening is what love does. Handles everything without weakening. Always believes the best of every person at all times. Thinks no evil. That's what it says in King James Version, 1 Corinthians 13. That's not an easy task, but the Holy Spirit, and we can't produce that in our own power, but we can produce it through the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, and so that's what we want the Lord. So God's working, and God's helping me to gain control in my storm. Now, the things that God's going to help me to do, what God's going to do, He's going to develop fruit that's going to be able to be a channel for the gifts of power. Now, you know, you can just wait around for a rescue. You can just hope for a rescue. Now, I have seen that happen. But it's not guaranteed. The only way that you're going to get a guaranteed God to move in your life is to do what God said. He wrote the rule book. And so as the Lord wrote the rule book, then we determine as we do our part, God is surely going to do His part. Amen? Sounds like we're going to have to make it through this storm too, doesn't it? So the Lord has given, but God has given us the control factor. It really is. God's already said yes. He's already pushed the button. It's like the big button in Washington, you know, that the nuclear missiles has to be two people have to be in association. Well, God's already pushed His. God's already pressed His, and His answer is yes. He'll do it for you. I want you to know that's God saying to you, and that's what I believe the Holy Spirit's saying. Yes, He'll do it for you. I believe that's God speaking through me tonight prophetically too. God wants you to know, yes, I will do it for you. God says that He will do it for you. But now you have the other button. And you've got to allow the Holy Spirit to work it in you so you can become proper conduit for His power to flow. Because God won't do it without you. He won't do it without you. And we can't do it without Him. But He won't do it without us. We may try to coax Him into it, try to prise Him loose, but God won't do it without us working with it. Because God's not going to waste a good storm. God's going to let that storm bring out fruit in our life that's going to be able to help us for the rest of our lives. And once that fruit is developed, once it comes into mature, when you get a mature tree, it can have mature fruit every year. See, once you get it mature, once you get your love or get that particular fruit mature, then you're fruitful. You're fruitful. And so it will never be that battle for you again. It will never be that battle for you again. Sitting with one of our young pastors today, and they was talking about how somebody was really against him. I said, you just got to get bigger than that. You've got to come to a place where you love everybody equally all the time. And it doesn't matter whether they love you back or not. Because agape love has nothing to do with me receiving love. It has everything to do with me giving love. You can't help what people do to you, but you can sure help and do what control what you do to them. So you've got to let God do that, all right? As I gain control in me, it will assist God. And sure, the agents that God's going to use is the Word of God. You can't make it out the Word, can't make it out prayer, can't make it out church, can't make it with other believers. And truly, the hand of God is at work in me. God is molding me, shaping me. And God's working on me during this storm. See, the storm's raging, but God's working on me. God's working on me. That's what this picture depicts right there. God's working on me in the midst of my storm. As I allow God to work in me, and the Bible says there's two forces that's constantly fighting inside me, but it's just the works of flesh. So flesh is constantly working in me. Constantly working. But let me say, you conquer areas of your flesh And it's just like a tamed animal. Once it gets this thing talking to me. Once that area of your life gets tamed, then it's like a tamed animal. It won't take much then to keep it in line. Just a little bit of duty with it, and it'll stay in line. It may really be difficult you getting it in line. But once you get it in line, then it will be tamed underneath the control of the Holy Spirit. And says, but when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, He will produce. And what will He produce? He will produce, when the Holy Spirit controls my life, the first thing, notice, there's nine fruits of the Spirit, is He produces love. Now, the fruit, the word fruit is singular. It's not God's producing fruits. Works is plural. Because all kinds of flesh things is trying to work against me. But fruit is singular. What that means is, these work interchangeably. Like I said, while you're walking in love, I mean, it's going to be impossible for you to walk in a consistent pace of love unless you have long suffering in you. Unless that's working with your love, see? And it's going to be impossible unless you have joy. Because more miracles will happen in your life when you finally master the joy in every situation. Joy is the one fruit that has this miraculous burst from it. It's when God can help me to master and allow the Holy Spirit to develop joy in every situation. All right, now I'm going to run on past some things here because I want to talk to you just a little bit about joy. All right, let me just mention it. Fruit is visible growth in Jesus. That's what it is. When I allow fruit, right, fruit is a product of growth. I want just, fruit is a product. Me, the fruit of God in my life is a product of growth. Love grows, joy grows, peace grows. All the fruit grow inside me. The Holy Spirit is the one that energizes this growth. It's the Holy Spirit that's energizing what I believe. And what I believe, He's energizing that to produce that fruit. Now, the fruit is the visible growth in Jesus Christ. There is no visible way other than the fruit. I know we like to say, quoting 100 Bible scriptures, I know we like to say that. But there's a lot of atheists today that can quote scriptures. But the thing they can't mimic the fruit. Boy, I was just a while back, I was in over the El Dorado church, and the Mormon church had moved in there to try to take some of our people. Now, we've had bats with that here in the past, but some of you are too young to remember that. But a church, the Mormon church had come against to seize our people, and they do it through a false humility. I don't mind saying, the Mormon church is not true Christianity because they worship other than Jesus. You can always tell if a church is right, it's where they place Jesus. If they don't place Jesus as the full supreme and Lord, that church is not right. See. Now, I love all people. I love Mormons. But they move in and they use a false sense of love. They find people that are in need, and they have this false sense of love, and they go in and they try to rescue people in that false sense of love and pull them into their clutches. And most of them have no idea what the Mormon church believes. They have no idea. They have no idea that they believe that you're going to live multiple lives and you're going to eventually work up to God yourself. Well, looky here, this is not God, y'all. You know, I mean, they believe you keep coming back in repeated life forms, and you start off as another form, then you repeated life forms until you work up to where you're God. And they believe for a baby, they believe that God Himself commits sexual acts in heaven. And they believe that when a baby's born here is when God has committed a sexual act in heaven. I mean, a lot of Mormons have no idea if they even believe that. You have to be in the hierarchy to do that. So I love Mormons, but I know they're just so deceived. And I want to help them. So we went to a confrontation with the Mormon church over in a specific household there. And when I say confrontation, the only thing that we have is love. Man, I tell you what, love can't be mimicked. I mean, true love can't. And so we went in, and there was the main elder in El Dorado, and he had two or three of his under elders that were there gathered with him in that living room. And there was me and Elaine. And so they immediately wanted to bring up issues to try to pull us off the Bible. Well, I said, I don't respect Joseph Smith. I do not believe that, but I believe in Jesus Christ. I said, we will converse over the Bible, because see, Joseph Smith lived such a horrible life. I mean, his end was totally destructive. And I said, we will converse over the Bible. Well, they said, yeah, but then they don't, you know, because they keep referring. But it's not them. It's the deception. It's the way the enemy sees. But then God spoke to my heart and said, love will break this. And so God gave me a dive into his love. And I immediately began to express the love of Jesus. And I began to tell them how much God loved me and how much God loved them. The younger ones, they began to see the difference, and they began to come on my side. When it did, the older one, the main elder in El Dorado, got so upset. Boy, you can see, like I said, what's inside is going to come outside. And no matter what they said to me, God gave Elaine and I the grace to just walk in love and to express love and express love to them over and over and over again. Till finally, the main elder jumped up, commanded all his followers to form a line behind him. And they marched out of the house, cursing me, telling me I was going to be dead in like so many, I think 2 weeks or something, what they gave me. But I'm so thankful. You can't curse who God's blessed. That's the second time that's happened to me. Second time I've been done that way by the Mormon church. And so that it has no meaning to me. Now I go back and I say, Lord, I'm thankful now that you can't curse whom the Lord, can't be cursed who the Lord's blessed. And so, but in that sense, but that family immediately, and now that family is one of our strongest families in the El Dorado church, because they immediately saw the difference in love and control. They immediately saw the difference in that. See, when you're talking about giving control of the Holy Spirit to your life, you're not talking about you gaining less control. You're talking about you having more control. In fact, self-control is one of the fruits of the Spirit that God works on you. I'm always leery when somebody says, God made me do this. I don't believe God operates like that. I believe we work with God and cooperate with God. And so, and we yield to God. So when we're talking about we're controlled of the Holy Spirit, it's never the sense of, it's always a love surrender is what it is. It's never a sense of, I'm going to control this thing. All right, the fruit of the Spirit is a physical manifestation of a Christian transformed life. The fruit of the Spirit in my life, it's a physical manifestation. When I walk in love, you can say, I've had an experience with God. That's why Jesus said, they'll know you're Christians by what? By that love. All right, consider this. Fruit is a product of growth. Love grows. I've already mentioned that. The fruit of the Spirit is a, I've already mentioned that. So now I'm giving you a new commandment, Jesus said. Love each other just as I've loved you. You know, the whole Old Testament is tied so much in through this, through the fruit. The whole Old Testament, the essence of the Old Testament is in two scriptures. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, strength, and love thy neighbor as what? Thyself. The whole essence of Old Testament and New Testament is bound in that love. All right, now I want to get on here and talk a little bit about joy. before we close tonight. Just to read real quick, it says, love suffers long and is kind. That's what the Bible says. Now, we can have a lot of definitions for it if we want to, but we got to just determine God's way is right. Amen? God's word is right. So the Bible says that love suffers long and is kind. So love in me makes me kind, makes me gentle. One version says gentle, makes me gentle. God's love in me causes me to be able to suffer long with people. You know what this Greek word for this is? Macaroni, long. That's what it is. And it is, you're able to suffer a long time. That's what love does. A person that don't have love, man, you get on their nerves just like that. A person that not walking and doesn't have the fruit of love walking in, hadn't developed that fruit in them, man, you can get their nerves. I mean, their nerves get upset. Man, they'll tell you off in a moment, blink a bye. You don't want to touch them. You don't want to do them wrong. I tell you, all that is absence, opposite of God. Because love suffers long and envies not, vaunteth not itself, is not put up, doesn't brag, does not behave except unseemly, and does not seek its own, and is not easily provoked, and thinks no evil. But what does it do? It rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Joy is a part of love. Rejoice, joy. Joy is a major part of what God's doing in me and developing this love walk inside me. Amen? Let me get on here. Let me get on through some of these real quick because I want to talk a little bit about the joy and what God does. Now, God is in the process of developing real love inside of us. Let me get here. Give me just a quick minute. Okay. Just for the people that would think that it's okay to think bad about people. I want you to notice these scriptures. What does it say? From this time on, we don't think of anyone as the world thinks of people. That's what it says. From this time on, this is talking about, this is proof, and by this, so people know that old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. The way I know that is because I don't let myself think about people the way the world thinks about people. If you're going to walk in love, you've got to make yourself think love thoughts. And love will grow. If you're going to walk in love, you got to make yourself talk love words, and love will grow in you. If you're going to make yourself walk in love, you've got to make yourself do acts of love, acts of generosity, acts of love. There's no need of not being in love with anybody. I believe this with all my heart. Love never fails. That's the last promise of it in verse 8. Love never fails. That means I can begin to do a repetitive act of thinking good about you and of speaking love words to you, speaking kind words, you know. And a lot of times people they don't think they're going to have to temper their love, their words. The Bible says that we do have to temper words. I love Gary Chapman and Love Languages. And somebody says, well, I just told them and they didn't hear me. But that's not enough. No, love won't let you do that. Because it's just like me said, I'm going to go to Germany and I don't care. I'm going to speak English and they're going to understand me. Isn't that crazy? So we have to temper. That's what love will go that such an extra mile to do. That love will go to an extra mile to cause people to understand the things we're saying is in love. The Bible said we're to speak the truth, but we're to temper it in love. We take that all together backwards. We say, I'm going to speak through it. No, you're going to speak through it, and you got to find a way to do it in a loving manner. What that means is, even if you're speaking the truth, you've got to find a way to temper your voice, to temper your sound. You've got to find a way to where it is perceived as love. You got to do it in love. You can speak the truth, but you've got to find a way to do it in love. And God will help. Everybody say, God will help us do that. The power of the Holy Spirit. How many found the Holy Spirit tempering you a little bit? Amen. How many found the Holy Spirit working in you, pulling you back? Boy, don't you just love that? The Bible says that love constrains us. Man, that love constrains us, you know? Man, it's just like, man, when you, back in my younger day, people still used horses and mules to plow with. And man, it was so good. You could put that harness, and they called it harness, on animals. And you put the harness on there, and then you have these big lead lines going back. And if that was a trained animal, you could be behind that with a plow. And you would not even, all you have to do is kind of just touch that lead line. And that horse would immediately take about a half a step to the right. And you could just take, and then he would automatically take. See, that's what the Lord does with us. That's why we wear a harness of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord, he just touches us. And we see, I'm getting this out of whack a little bit. I need to temper myself a little bit. I need to pull myself back, and we can just take a little. And the result of that was straight rows. Everybody wants to walk straight, live right. And the result of that is a straight life. Back then, it was a straight row. You could also tell somebody like me that was plowing. Because not used to, I was jerking. And then the mule that was trained would go here and here and here. And that's what happens when we try to control somebody else. We've got to let God and His Holy Spirit, we can't do the work of the Holy Spirit. But if we will work and do what the Holy Spirit does in faith, if I would learn that every fruit is a development of faith in me, therefore, I love by faith. Therefore, we have joy by faith. Therefore, we can have peace by faith. Now, somebody says, do you ever feel it? Sure, you feel it. Sure, as I begin to rein my life into it, see, what happens is our feelings are so out of whack because our thinking's been out of whack, our talking's been out of whack, and our acting, our reacting has been out of whack. And because of that, we've got ourselves to this place to where we feel so much sadness. But I tell you, the Lord said it's time to allow that grief to be turned into joy. It's time for the Lord to help us to change our lives. And if we will allow God to take that sorrow by yielding to the wrong stimulants and allow the Holy Spirit to have this real guide in our life, where the Holy Spirit can just gently rein us and we can just gently move our actions, our words, our thoughts to line them up with God. Because I tell you what, you're always going to have the flesh that's going to try to get you to think evil about somebody. And you're always going to have your flesh that's going to cause you to react instead of act in love. And you're always going to have somebody that's going to come against that. But it's okay, but it's in our flesh. And the Bible says this battle is going on all the time. But when you finally get that lion tamed, he will be tamed. Amen. So we've got to get, and the Bible says, if I can bring my words to speak love, if any man doesn't offend in what? In word, he is a what? A perfect man. A mature man. If I can allow the Holy Spirit to rein my words to where my words will not bring offense, but will convey truth, but we'll be doing it in a love. So I can get it where I can correct people, but there's a gentleness that's associated with that correction. If I can temper, if I can allow the Holy Spirit to temper, bring forth that fruit in my life, then God can really do something with it. The Bible calls it maturity or perfect. That when I can take my words and they become vessels of the Lord, praise God. Amen? Okay, all right. The Bible says, I don't think as the world thinks. It is true that in the past we thought of Christ as the world thinks. But we don't think that way anymore, do we? Amen. And another version of it says this way, NLT, and the NLT is supposed to be the closest to the original Greek. And it says, so we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. Stop evaluating people. The Bible says, stop it. That's a command. Stop. Stop evaluating people from a human point of view, the NLT says, at one time we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view, but not anymore. Not anymore, can you say amen? But the second fruit then is joy. And we got just a few minutes to talk about joy. Now, let's look at some real joy scriptures. Then we're going to close the way God can use joy powerfully. All right, God wants this fruit to grow in something. Everybody say joy. Joy. And I wish that we could sing that little song that says, I got the... Where? Where? Hey, we got a choir going on here tonight. Great. All right, let's look at a few verses on joy. Or I said, the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink. These things make up the kingdom of God. There's three major things, and the first one is goodness or righteousness, the Bible says, and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's in the Spirit. They're empowered by the Spirit. You can't have these apart from the Holy Spirit. All right. John 15:11 said, Jesus said, these things have I spoken to you. Jesus' words were spoken so that we may have joy in us. Amen. That we, our joy may be full. Now I told us again, not as the world gives joy, because what the world considers joy is happiness. Now happiness is a part of the Christian experience. In fact, the Beatitudes are all set around happy. But the word happy is to mean blessed, happy, and fortunate. The word happen, what modern terminology has done to the word happiness is taking it to where it totally is dependent on luck. And that's what the original word meant. Totally dependent on luck in this life. But God wants to bring a joy that's not dependent on your outside circumstances. It's not dependent on the things that's happening around you. God wants to bring a joy into your life that no matter how hard the devil's fighting you, that joy is there. And God wants to help grow that in you to where that joy can release great, great power. All right. All right. Just think about this now. Joy is not the result that we feel good all the time. That's not what joy is. Joy is not the result that you feel good all the time. But joy is the result that we have chosen to believe God all the time. See, that's the difference. Joy is not the result of me feeling good all the time. Joy is the result of me willing to believe God all the time. As I believe God. All right, now, the Bible says, Romans chapter 15 says, that may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. That's where you get joy, is believing God. It's when you believe that God's going to take care of you, and no matter what's coming against you, or no matter what letter you got in the mail, or no matter what bill was sent against you, or no matter what the doctor may have told you, you have joy because you know God's going to take care of this thing. God's going to take care of this. And that's the joy of the Lord. And that is produced in you by the power of the Holy Spirit as you develop a more trust life in Jesus. As you learn to trust God more, it brings up, it nurtures that joy. If you're having a problem with joy, it's not joy you're having a problem with. It's trusting God. Because the more you trust God, the more it releases, because it's a direct result of that. Amen. Joy is, now this is a good explanation of joy. Joy is the settled assurance that God's in control. That's what it is. It's the settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life. I've committed my life to God. Therefore, I am not my own. I belong to God. I belong to God. I'm His property. Amen. God's not going to let His property look shabby. God's going to take care of His property. I've got a confidence. Amen. We got a confidence. We call it God confidence instead of confidence, God finance. But we have it in God. And what the Lord is doing, it's the quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right. I'm here to tell you, if you're trusting God, it's going to be all right. If you're trusting God, it's going to be all right. Now, this is where I told you I'm talking about tonight. This is where I'm presently having my hardest struggle. Is the Lord to develop this joy in me over a particular issue, a crisis that I'm facing personally. And I've got to get my footing here. And I have almost got it there. I've had my kids praying for me to be able to gain footing in this area of believing God. And so it takes a while. We start off unstable, but joy grows. Everybody say joy grows. All right. Joy grows in me. And so I begin to get more and more submit. The more stable I become in the personal crisis, then the more stable I become knowing I know that, but I got to know that. Amen. And the more I absolutely know that, the more joy is able to come out of my life. Amen. All right. And everything's is going to be all right. And the determined choice to praise God in every situation. It's your determined choice. I make a determination. I'm going to praise God. Amen. All right. Now, joy, Acts 13:52 said, and the disciples were continually filled with joy. Now, what was the last Bible movie that we went to see in El Dorado? What was the last one? What was that? Risen. That odd name for a Christian life. But I wasn't able to see it with y'all, but I went to see it later because I was too busy running around talking to everybody. But I tell you what, I believe that's the best Bible movie I ever saw. I was so surprised y'all didn't come tell me how good it was. What made it so good, did you notice every person in that movie was filled with joy? It was almost hilarious to watch them. But that's what the Bible says comes into the life of a believer that's trusting God. Every time they try to back Peter up in the corner, he'd come out laughing. He was full, and it was the happiest Jesus I've ever seen. I love that. Because I believe that the Christian life is a joyful Christian life. I believe it is full of joy, unspeakable, and full of glory. Amen. All right. It says, and they were continually filled with joy. Now, it's dependent upon three separate stages of our growth. Now, just not growing fruit, but there's three separate stages of our growth. The first stage is salvation. You can't have true joy unless you've been saved. But when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes in your life. He comes in there, but you get it by measure. You get the Holy Spirit by measure. Comes and saves you. It creates that desire for God in you. And then everything is beautiful all of a sudden. But God expects us to believe the rest of His Bible. And the rest of His Bible says that I am to pursue the Holy Spirit to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, see what joy is of the Holy Spirit. The more the Bible says the disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. Continually. Now, this second one is where you lose a whole big group of people. I told the early service this morning, I said, you see some people, they say, yeah, I was filled with the Holy Spirit 20 years ago. Well, what happened to you, honey? You're talking like a renegade. You're so discouraged. You're complaining about everything because we forget there's a third stage. And that is our life is to be a constant pursuit of the Holy Spirit to stay continually filled. I was filled at one point, but I have to be refilled on a daily basis for the glory of God. Now, me being full of joy is dependent on that. Now, if I'm pursuing pleasure, I'm not going to have joy. Oh, I'll have happiness just long. You know how it is. We get that new vehicle. It sits out there. Man, we feel so proud. We're going to let everybody see it. And we feel good driving around. And then you give it 5 months down the road and we treat it like we did the wreck before. See, that's happiness. See, joy is something much deeper than that. Jeepers says, let that vehicle wear out. God's going to give me another one. Hallelujah. I got something to joy about. Or I know God's going to take care of me. I know God's going to see me through. I know God's going to do that. Billy, I know God's healing you right now, brother. I know that because that's what His Word declares. The joy of the Lord. I can have joy in the midst of situations that I'm confident that God is handling for me. I can't have joy in situations that I'm not confident. All right, in Romans 14 it says, for the kingdom of God is not injured, but the kingdom of God is three things: righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the whole summation of the kingdom. The summation of the kingdom. If you want to know the important of the important, this is the important of the important. It's righteousness, rightly pursuing God, rightly living toward God, letting God live through you, walking as Jesus walked, peace and joy. All right, John 16:20 says, truly, truly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrow, but what? Your sorrow would turn to joy. There are moments in all of our lives of that sorrow. That's what I was talking about this morning, when you're taken off guard by something happening to you. But you can't stop in the sorrow. There's people that's been grieving for 10 years, and that's not right. That's not right. There's people that allow grief over a marriage lost, grief over a loved one lost, grief over children going astray, grief over finances that's bottomed out. And it's not right. If you're going to live a life of grief, you're never going to be able to have the joy of the Lord, which is your strength for life. The joy is your strength. It's strength. It's what gives you the muscles to move the things in life that God wants you to move. And if you're going to stay in grief, you've got to go through grief. Everybody say through grief. That's what I was talking about, is that instability. That's what happens in any situation. Anything knocks you, it's grief. Anytime knocks you, maybe you go in and get a bad doctor report and it sets you back. You got to get stable. See, that's the process of that grief. Getting refocused, getting stable on the promises of God. And once you get stable on the promises of God, then the Lord brings great joy in. Amen? And so God wants to have fill us with that as we pursue the Holy Spirit. All right, John chapter 16. Therefore, you too now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and no one takes your joy. Now, how many people you ever heard say this? They took my joy away. They come in and said that, and they took my joy. When they said that, I lost my joy. Now, you're telling Jesus he lied. Because either you're telling the truth, or either Jesus is telling the truth. I choose to believe Jesus. And Jesus said, no man can take that joy away from you. If you gave your joy up, it's because you lost your trust in God. No man took that from you. So what? Somebody walked in and scolded you, or somebody walked it in, or they rejected you, or someone, they didn't take your joy. No man can take your joy away. Somebody said, they disappointed me. That didn't take your joy. You're the one that made a decision to stop trusting God. And the moment that you quit trusting God, you lost your joy. Because joy becomes as a direct result of, I believe God's got everything under control. Praise God. And I believe as I pursue God. Now, this is just not the general public, not even the general public of believers. Romans 8:27. It's not, but I believe as I pursue God that I can truly trust that all things will work together for good in my life. That God will take whatever the devil throws and whatever people throw and whatever people do or whatever the financial world does or whatever, God will take all of that. And if I will trust God and not let it take my joy, God will work in it and God will cause all things to work together for my good. I believe that. I believe God will work that thing out for my good. Now, being pastor, I have watched this happen hundreds of times in people's lives. I've watched hundreds of people over the last many years come in, and at that moment, their lives looked totally devastated. It looked like what had happened was going to wipe them away for good. It looked like it was going to wipe their finances out. It looked like it was going to destroy their family unity. It looked like it was going to destroy their marriages. It seemed like their life was gone. But when they, in that situation, if they would make a choice, I will praise God in this situation. If I could bring them to a place, through the power, the help of the Holy Spirit, if I could bring them to a place of rejoice, of joy in the Lord, of trusting God, of believing that God can handle this. I want to close with this just very quickly. This is a direct example in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It begins there telling an awful story. It begins that Jehoshaphat loving God and loving people. He woke up one morning and his enemy had totally surrounded him. And he had no way, no power. He said, I have no power to defend myself. But he said these words. He said, my eyes are upon you. And God in his graciousness gave Jehoshaphat, gave him a few days to get stable. Because see, now Jehoshaphat just didn't play around. He called a fast. He began to see, God, if you're not stable, and if you remain not stable, that storm's going to eventually carry that unstable boat away. You've got to stabilize your life in the Lord. You've got to stabilize it on Scripture. And so there what Jehoshaphat did, he gave himself to seeking God, and he called the people to seek God. There was no way that they can make it out alive. But they called the people to come together and to seek God. And then all of a sudden Jehoshaphat did almost the unbelievable. He stood up in the midst and he said, God, I know that you're the Lord, and I know nothing can happen that's beyond your control. That nothing can take place without your authority. And when he began to honor God and began to reverence God in the midst of instability, he said, I'm afraid, God. But he began to and that's what the Holy Spirit will do inside of you. As you're taken away in the midst of that instability, something hits you hard and you don't know what to do. If you will just trust God, if you will just say, God, I need you to make me stable. Holy Spirit, stabilize me. Stabilize me so we can win this thing. And that's what he did. He began to seek God. It's an amazing. I taught, I think, 5 years one time. One time years ago, I taught 5 years on seeking God. It was amazing what seeking God will do. And what those circumstances happen in our life is to cause us to seek God. And most of us are just as lazy as can be. We won't truly, truly, truly seek God until things get bad. But Jehoshaphat gave us the plan that when you wake up and the world is going out from under you, if you'll seek God. And then the Holy Spirit, right in the middle of that, he began to rely on God's word and to begin to search God's word. And right in the midst of that, the Holy Spirit came up in him and he stood up and he said, God, nothing can happen out from under your control. All of a sudden, the weak man had begun to gain in strength. The next thing, then, the body of Christ began to minister to him. A prophet came and said, Jehoshaphat, God sent me to tell you and this people, this battle is not yours. This battle belongs to God. Immediate praise and thanksgiving and joy began to come out from Jehoshaphat and the people. Where grief and sorrow and instability had been, now in just a few days of the Spirit of God making him stable, there began to ring a rejoicing in the camp of the Lord. In fact, it was so strong that Jehoshaphat said, let's rejoice into this battle. Let's just rejoice into this battle. And he called for the praisers to come. And which was about as bad battle planning as a person could do. Instead of putting his best soldiers on the front line, Jehoshaphat knew, if I would join in the Lord, God will work a miracle. If I will choose to have joy in the midst of my difficulty, God will work a miracle. If I choose to let the joy of the Lord be my strength. Somebody said, how did they do it? How did they? And that word that they used for praise, it was a word that meant they raised their hands up and prayed. praise God. And they said, Lord, you know, I taught you this morning on the word hasid. That's what they said right there. They said, the love of the Lord and your mercy endures forever, Lord. Your mercy and your love endures forever, Lord. What they were singing in spiritual terms was this. As I praise you, you place a covering over me, God. As I praise you, your loving kindness, your hasid, covers me, God. You're covering me. And the Bible so beautifully, I believe it's verse 22. So beautifully it says, I love the NLT, it says, in that very moment. I love it. In that very moment. In that very moment that they chose to have joy in the midst of their difficulty. In that very moment, the Bible says, God discomforted the enemy. What does that mean? He jerked the rug out from under the enemy. And the Bible says that all of that was against them was totally annihilated, was killed. And see, Jehoshaphat, I believe Charles was a gentleman. I believe he loved God and God loved him. And he developed that gentleness. I believe God knew that he didn't want to kill anybody. I believe the Lord said, that's where joy will do. Joy will release my miracle for you. If you have joy, it'll release my miracle for you. So he did. Now that example is found over and over and over and over and over and over and over in the Bible. But it's the truth of God. If I will allow the Holy Spirit to bring down joy. But now joy is just not today. It's enduring joy. Say enduring joy. It's enduring joy. To no matter what the devil says or no matter what the devil does, they're not going to take my joy. Because I've got joy, joy, joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. Let's stand together tonight. We're going to take a moment. This is going to be our closing prayer right now, what Stephen's going to worship here with. And this is going to be our closing prayer. There won't be any other close other than this. You know what you're going through. You know what you're facing. You know what you're having to deal with. You know. You know what you need God to do. You can either go a long way around, or you can allow God to go right shortcut to his miraculous. And that's what joy does. Joy is God's battle plan for the hardest of situations. Joy is God's major battle plan that he gives when he needs a miracle now. Joy. So we have the joy, joy, joy down in our heart. And God has the power to work the miracle. I'm going to ask those that's really going through issues. You know, Merle, we really hadn't prayed much over you. But would you mind, when we praise the Lord, I want you to just come, maybe find you a seat here. Billy, I tell you what, that sickness is not going to get you, brother. Jesus has got you. I want you, Billy, when we begin to praise, I want you to just come down and sit down in here. And then, anyone else is fighting real issues. You know, George and Lee, y'all going through. And someone needs to stand in for Don. He's really fighting a battle. But maybe it's your own situation. If so, I just want you to come and find you a place to sit here in the front. As much separate as you can. And then there's going to be few of us that's just going to allow the Holy Spirit. We're just going to have joy in the Lord around you. And then if God speaks something to us, maybe the Lord may use me, or may use Evelyn, or may use Darlene, just like he used that prophet to speak to Jehoshaphat. And God may tell me to tell you, the battle's not yours. It's the Lord's. So rejoice. If no one speaks a word to you, you know what that means? God's got it, man. God's got it. No worry. Just be happy. But what this season does, it gives us an opportunity. If there's anything that needs to be said or done in your life to help you, to stimulate you, to prophetically pick you up or to pray for you, or whatever it is, it gives God the opportunity to do that.